What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Factory Report. I'm Caleb Burlingame.
And I'm Luke Grumman.
And today we're going to be talking about the Final Four, as well as giving our predictions for the National Championship. This is The Factory Report. In normal Factory Report fashion, Luke, will you give us the quick news?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we got some great quick news for you today. Men's baseball team is 8-9 and will play against Western Michigan this Sunday. The men's and women's track teams are currently competing in the Speck Towns Invitational in Athens, Georgia. The gymnastics squad is currently competing in their regional matchup against Maryland. If you're looking for insight on that matchup, go back and watch/listen last week's interview with Ashley Buehler. Was amazing having her on. Great episode. Check it out. Women's soccer is 4-2 and will play NIU on Sunday. Women's tennis is 7-9, plays today, right now, against Butler. And finally, the women's volleyball team finished their season at 8-12 with a win against Ball State last Saturday. In a piece of bonus news, Ariana Combs will be coming back for another year with the women's basketball team. So
yes,
let's
sir.
Go. We'll get another... Another amazing duo year with her and Sonaris Gaines. It was great to watch. Well, hopefully they won't bomb out of the first round of the MAC tournament, but that's neither here nor there. But let's get into the meat and potatoes of today. So, first of all, you know, we're from Michigan, obviously. The Block M is near and dear to our hearts almost as much as the Block E. And what happened on Monday with the Michigan's basketball team in the NCAA tournament was, and you know, I'm speaking for myself here, it was kind of a debacle because they lost to the number 11 seed UCLA team. They had, I believe, three opportunities in the last 5 minutes to put up a shot. The third one was a little bit difficult, but basically they gave the game away. What are your initial thoughts, Caleb?
If our listeners know, I am a massive Michigan fan, and I love their basketball team much more than I love their football team, and that's saying something. True. So watching this game, going in, I was a little afraid because it was at 10 o'clock at night. I thought Michigan might come out tired. I thought they would miss shots, and look, they did. And when you look at the last 5 minutes of the game, missed layups, turnovers, throwing up terrible shots. Like, Eli Brooks had that weird reverse layup after he got an offensive rebound. That was stupid. So many mental mistakes. Mike Smith running down and thinking the best shot they can take to win the game is a step back fast break three-pointer. It makes no sense. And I have no doubt in my mind Juwan probably drew up a good play. I hope for Shaundi Brown, because Shaundi Brown was the only one that was shooting well in that arena the whole entire tournament. But you draw it up for Mike Smith or Franz Wagner, who is 1 of 8 from the night. And Mike Smith, who has been turning the ball over all game, it hurts. It hurts so bad because you had so many chances to beat a team that was so clearly inferior to you. So clearly. UCLA had one guy, Johnny Juzang. Clearly inferior. Clearly. Michigan deserved to be in the Final Four. And you throw it away because you play the worst basketball you've played all year since the Minnesota game. It was absolutely a debacle. As a Michigan fan, it hurts when the games that are important that we lose is to one man. In the national championship in 2013, it was Aaron, whatever the heck his name was. But in Villanova, it was
the Nova guy. Yeah, it was a freaking DiVincenzo.
Yeah, DiVincenzo against Louisville. Yeah, it was there was something Aaron something against Louisville. Yeah. But Villanova, it was DiVincenzo or whatever how you say his last name.
Yeah.
It's always some one guy going off on us, and it's insane. I'm surprised we didn't lose by more. The only reason I think we came back is because Juzang went out with an injury and we were able to go on an 8-0 run. But it's disgusting that we lose these games in crunch time when we should so just clearly win. And this was one that I can't excuse because it's the dang 11 seed. UCLA had to beat MSU to get in here. And now they beat us. It's just, what do you think?
In overtime. They beat MSU in overtime. Do you know how bad that MSU team was?
Yeah, do you know how bad this UCLA team is? They're not good. UCLA is not good.
They're about to get steamrolled by Gonzaga because only one player can put the ball in the basket in Juzang.
If you're watching it, Luke, no one else made a shot. Like, they did, but realistically, everyone else has thrown up clangers. Like, everyone else's shot was broke. Ju Zhang was the only one that was making shots. Only one.
Yeah. Aside from him, UCLA was dead. Now, they played good defense, but if you're Michigan, you've got to score over 50. Like, that's inexcusable for a one seed and a team that's so highly offensively powered, to use some poor grammar. They were so good, and it was just an absolute debacle. And to your point about drawing up a play for Shawnee Brown. Shawnee Brown was the only player who's really who felt like he was really bringing juice. I mean, he always does. That's who he is.
Yes, I hope he comes back.
He wasn't even on the floor in that last sequence. It's like, what are you doing? Now, like, we can whether they should have gone for a three at the end either with Wagner or Mike Smith. I feel like that could be up for interpretation in terms of philosophy. But if your friend's Wagner, you've got to make that shot. You get an open look. You get an open look and you just miss it. And like, if you get two opportunities, two godsends to put up a bucket in Mike Smith's three and Franz Wagner's three, and they weren't able to do it, pisses me off. Like, what are we doing?
It's more sad that Franz's last three with 0.5 seconds was closer than the one he was wide open and he airballed. It was absolutely so disgusting. When I love Franz, I really do, and I don't want to judge him.
Me too.
Because I know this happens to these kids, and it's 10 o'clock at night, and I can't judge them. But you're the best player on the floor. You're shooting great from the three-point all year, and you choose this night to go 1 of 8. You're airballing the game winner as one of our veterans.
Yeah.
It hurts, because I want Franz to go out better than that. He's going to the NBA this year. He's looking to be a lottery pick, if not right after the lottery to the Lakers, it's looking like in some mock drafts. But that's not how I wanted Lakers. Yeah, it's not how I've wanted Franz to go out, man. It hurts. But, like I said before, Michigan missed so many free throws. It was disgusting how many free throws they missed. You make those free throws, you're never in that position to lose the game. You just win. We win by 5. Yeah. That's over. Free throws. You turn the ball over, so many stupid little turnovers, or like, we'd go get a rebound, and as we're running up the floor, we just throw it away or gets knocked out of our hand. It was so disgusting to watch. And if you do that kind of play against anybody, it could be Rutgers, I don't care, you're going to lose. You're going to lose, Luke. You play like that, you're going to lose. One note I wanted to talk about for the final possession there. So we had, 25-ish seconds left? We're down by 2. I don't mind going for the 3. It's March Madness, I don't mind going for the win, whatever, I get it. But the last 3 possessions, Hunter Dickinson got his matchup and made all 3 buckets. Hunter Dickinson was finally cooking. He was cold all game. Hunter wants the ball. You could see every time in the last 4 or 5 possessions when he was scoring, he's, give me the ball. I want the ball. Let me score. And then you just choose to go to Mike Smith, who's been cold all game. I don't know if that was Mike Smith's just bad decision-making. It was like, I'm going to chuck up a 3 here with 20 seconds left. I don't know if it was just poor decision-making. But why didn't we just slow down, get the ball down to Hunter, maybe get him fouled, get an and one, or just try to do something like that? Or Hunter gets the ball, they collapse on him, toss it out to Shondi, who's wide open, drain that 3. Or I even would have liked to see Eli Brooks maybe shoot it, because he's the senior. Brooks has been shooting very consistent from 3.
I don't know about that. He wasn't shooting very well that night, but I do agree with what you're saying about Hunter Dickinson. Whether even it's just passing in to get some offense going, because, you know, you always put the ball in the hands of your best player. And Hunter Dickinson is their best player. He's proven that this season. You have to put the ball in his hands. And I guess to kind of zoom out real quick, before you say, oh, Luke and Caleb, you guys are overreacting. We're not. This is a Final Four. Do you know what a Final Four means?
To go to the Final Four. It's almost like a title. We get a banner for it.
It's the same thing as going to the college football playoff. It means that much, if not more. Do you know how many amazing coaches there are who only have like 1 or 2 Final Fours? Like, it's not something that happens. This should be a stain on Juwan Howard's career, even though, you know, it's only his second.
It was his first March Madness.
Madness, but like, how are you gonna give away a game like this to UCLA, dude? Like, I know. Come on.
It wasn't completely his fault, but
it wasn't totally, but I feel like not going to Hunter as the coach, you need to say we need to put the ball in the hands of our best player. It's your job not to get cute in that situation and say, oh, what if we drew up a double X banana split Y play? It's like, no, let's win this game. We're better in this team. Yeah. And, you know, hey, like, you know, he just won AP Coach of the Year. Like,
he did.
2 things can be true at once. 1, this was a horrible game. 2, Michigan far exceeded my expectations for the season, and I am stoked.
They did.
But I'm guilty of this. I was comfortable with that loss for a while until I thought over and I was like, wait a second. We just gave away a championship to a bum doctor school. Like, what's going on here?
I know.
They only had one. They only got like one NBA player. We've got like three. So what's going on here? You know what I'm saying? That's just
exactly. I completely agree. One more note. I completely agree with you. You brought this up. Is that I had no expectations for Michigan this year. I thought they were going to be fourth or fifth in the Big Ten. Let's look at it. Iowa. I thought MSU was going to be great this year. I thought Illinois would be in front of them. And I thought Wisconsin would be in front of them. That's four teams Michigan outplayed this year. And you can argue Illinois, but Michigan made it farther in March Madness. So, yes, they far exceeded expectations, but in this situation, you got to step up. Final Fours, everyone watches it. Recruits are watching, and we have the number one recruiting class next year. That's amazing. But let's keep that going. Let's keep that energy, you know? Like, let's. If those recruits see us get to the Final Four, they're like, okay, now we really want to come. Like, we're there.
Yeah.
We're bringing in 2 5-stars next year, two very, very high 4-stars that are, one should be a 5-star, and then a one good 3-star. We're bringing back Hunter Dickinson. We could be bringing back Eli or Sean D. Michigan's going to be nasty next year. This loss hurts so, so bad, Luke. But when you think to next year, this next year if they lose in the Final Four or lose a game like this, that's on Juwan. There's no excuse for it. But this year, he's still playing with some of B-Line's guys, man. He's still playing.
You could still write this off as a like fluke or just like, oh, this is his first Final Four. Well, technically, it's not his first Final Four, but as a coach, it's his first Final Four. So you could say that, I guess. I think the big difference you're bringing up to kind of quantify is that there's hope for the team. There's no hope for the football team. There is hope for the basketball team.
It's as simple we're not as talking about football at all. Don't get me angry like that.
By the way, Juwan Howard should get paid this year. They should make sure they don't do the same mistake they did with Beilein, because he left because they paid him like $2 million.
Yeah.
Juwan Howard should get paid Harbaugh money. Like, it's he should.
Yeah, I completely agree. I saw rumors, like, on Twitter that if Michigan made it to the Natty and won, like, so many teams would come knocking, like, the NBA to try to get Juwan. So maybe I'm a true believer, Luke, that everything happens for a reason, even if it's just stupid sports. Even if it's just stupid sports. So let's say we would have made it to the Final Four and then made it to Natty or something, somehow beat Gonzaga, and then we lose Juwan, and he leaves in 1 year. And then we're stuck with some other coach, you know. I'm convinced Michigan is on a road to something great. This was just a hard hiccup that we're going to have to swallow on the way there. But Michigan will be great. There's no excuse for this game. Gonzaga's going to blow the doors off UCLA.
Yeah. And that's kind of was what our next point was going to be, which is UCLA versus Gonzaga. And like, I mean, there's not much to talk about there. UCLA is about to Gonzaga's going to wipe the floor with them. Are you kidding me? Because there's only one player can score. They play good defense, but you can't.
Exactly.
You can't stop Gonzaga.
Exactly. Like, it's as simple as that. Honestly, Luke, I was looking at these teams on paper. I thought Michigan matched up with Gonzaga much more than UCLA, obviously. They're the better team. But UCLA, you got Johnny Juzang, you got Cameron Riley down low, who gets in foul trouble so often. But Riley's not going to guard Timmy, and Jalen Suggs is going to go off.
Oh, yeah.
Their only hope is that Johnny Juzang absolutely opens another amazing game, but I don't see that happening back-to-back times, Luke, especially on this big of a stage. Guys sometimes choke after having a massive Elite Eight game. The odds of UCLA are so low, and that's why Gonzaga is opening as a 14-point favorite, according to ESPN and the betting odds. The odds of UCLA winning are just so astronomically low that Gonzaga is going to sweep to the final. I think it'll be a quick game. They'll win by at least 15-16. But if Michigan is playing Gonzaga, I'd like to be optimistic and say Michigan only loses by, I don't know, 8. What do you think?
I do agree with you. I don't think Michigan, especially playing the way they have been, would be able to keep pace with the Zags, because the Zags just play so fast. They play so good. They all look like pros. I mean, Suggs is an amazing player, and like, I mean, first of all,
future
like,
Piston maybe.
Future. I mean, like, future I know Piston? It's been said in every broadcast ever, but like, you know, he's a D1 football prospect also, and a basketball prospect, by the way. I know this is kind of off topic, but good decision going into basketball, not getting CTE. But anyway, he's incredible. The dude with a freaking handlebar mustache.
Yeah, first Timmy. Of all, that's Timmy.
Best mustache in the NCAA, possibly in the handlebar. Nation. You can't win against that. It's just too good. Like, there's nothing else really to say.
If Michigan had pulled out that game against UCLA, and the Final Four game against Gonzaga would have been, let's say, like an afternoon game, I thought Michigan could squeak it out, and let me tell you why. Michigan, if Luke, look back on this year. They had that bad loss against Minnesota, and then they pulled it together, and they ran on a huge run again. Michigan's not a team that really sits on their failures and does it back to back to back. Only time I can think of it was when they lost to Illinois end of the season, and then they lost to Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament. That was a rough stretch. Mm-hmm. But Michigan always usually comes off of bad shooting nights on fire. If you think back to the 2018 March Madness when they made it to the national title, they against Florida State, they absolutely lit it up to go to the Final Four. Yeah. They did not miss a shot that whole night. The game before that, Luke, against Texas Tech, we didn't shoot good at all. We did not shoot the ball well at all. So just looking historically, I thought, hey, Michigan might come into this game and they might shoot the lights out. What are the odds Franz goes 1-for-8 again? Hardly. But that's nor here nor there because it's not going to happen. But
no, I think you could be right. Like, I'm not going to – if we were to get to play Gonzaga, I don't think it's like an open and closed like – Michigan has like no shot whatsoever. Like, we have, like, a slim chance. Probably, like, 30.
UCLA
maybe.
Has no chance.
Yeah, UCLA has no chance.
I'd say I would have gave Michigan, like, 70-30 odds. Or maybe 60-40 even. But UCLA, it's like, you have a 5% chance, and that's if Johnny Juzang makes every single shot, and
he's
you guys
5%.
Somehow play defense. Their defense is good, but it's not good enough to contain Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm. And, like, your point about Michigan playing good basketball in general is absolutely correct. That's what made this UCLA game such a standout, because we didn't play good mental basketball. Like, I mean, like, we always miss our free throws.
Yeah, but we made bad mistakes. Completely agree. Exactly. Free throws are exactly that. Free. They're free throws. You need to make them. Hunter missed 4 in a row in the night, and I think Franz missed one. They were just making stupid mistakes. And that, again, we're going back to that old topic, but Eli Brooks shooting a weird reverse layup after a rebound, it was the mental toughness just needs to get better. Michigan's got a great culture, so I don't doubt that they're going to be tough next year, but it's like, you guys played at 11 o'clock at night. I know you're tired, but get your head out of your butt, you know?
This is a game where, like, you know, you take your beer and you throw out the TV and say, what are they doing out there? What
I could do it so much better.
I could do that if I was up there giving me D1 scholarship. I could do that.
Okay, Luke, I can shoot free throws. I think anyone that is competent could shoot a dang free throw.
This is true.
But
I don't know if I can make one in the NCAA tournament, and my high school record would say that I could not make free throws, but right as of right now, I could. I could make a couple. So
I could probably – we're those guys that are saying, you know, I could do that, but it's a free throw. It's a free throw. UCLA versus Gonzaga – really, I have nothing else to say about that game anymore. Yeah. Gonzaga is a steamroll them. Something much more interesting, though, Luke, is the other side of the bracket. We got Baylor and Houston. Who has the edge there? And let me tell you, Houston has had a Mickey Mouse run to the Final Four. Oh, my gosh. Houston is the first team ever, to play 4 double-digit seeds in a row to get to the Final Four. They've had a Mickey Mouse run, Luke.
Yeah,
Baylor hasn't. Baylor's been kicking BUTT all year. I'm taking Baylor in this game. What do you think, Luke?
I mean, like, I'm taking Baylor, too. Like, I'm not going to get too cute with it. I'm sticking with Baylor. And also, I hate Houston's guts ever since we played them couple of years ago. And that dude with the freaking man bun. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he saw her. Yeah, but we got the last laugh with them.
We got the last laugh. Do you remember his younger brother was in the stands just like freaking nay-naying on everything whenever Zoltan
was. Oh,
like,
gosh.
So annoying.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to. That's in the past. But yeah, I'm biased against Houston. I want them to suffer. I want them to get absolutely pounded into the ground. I want them to get steamrolled. I want them to be made into a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, that's what I want. And I think Baylor's going to do that. Like, hot take, I know. The one seed's going to win. But I think Baylor's going to crush them. Like, they're just.
I don't know if it's
really
a crushing
good.
Win. I don't know if it's a crushing win, but I think it's a win. Baylor and Gonzaga have been in an upper echelon all season. If you look on Twitter, if you've been on Twitter the last 6 months, they've been saying it's Gonzaga, it's Baylor right below them, maybe by a slim margin, and then it's head and shoulders everybody else, Michigan, Houston, Illinois, they're all in that echelon. And up there, it's Gonzaga and Baylor. And I know it's selfish for the March Madness to say, like, oh, it's going to be the 2-1 seeds in the final, but I want to see this happen. I want to see the two best teams in college basketball go up against each other, and I want to see who's going to come out on top. Gonzaga, are you really going to be the perfect season and win an undefeated championship, or are you going to let Baylor come in and smack you around? We'll see. But I'm very interested. I don't want Houston to go there because I think Baylor's just going to put up a much better fight. And that's what I want to see from a national championship. I don't want to see some beat down in the natty, you know?
What was the there's national championship? I think it was 2 years ago. It was like Virginia and like someone else.
Who Texas Tech. Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech.
Tech beat Michigan State in the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you guys aren't. Why are you here? Like, nobody wants to see you play. Like, all due respect, congratulations, Virginia, for winning a championship. But, like, geez, I like
this they year, were so I want unfun to see Zags and Baylor.
I want to watch them play.
Virginia was so unfun to watch that year because they didn't make shots. They scored, like, 45 points and a half. They were so low scoring. It was just 45 points in a game, sorry, not in a half. In a game. 45 for a half is high. 45 for a game.
He said 45 and a half. I was like, that's not too bad. He said it per game. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, killed me.
Yeah, Virginia. So, I'm taking Gonzaga and Baylor to make it to the final. Luke, I presume you say the same.
Yeah, I mean, like, what am I supposed to do here? Bet against the Zags? Like, that's basically career suicide. I mean, like, my sports career hasn't exactly taken off yet. But, I mean, like, geez, if I want to, like, murder myself in my cradle, I pick against Gonzaga. Like, what? There's nothing I can do here. It's Zags. Like, you know, like, the mathematical formulas, you know, A plus B equals, like, C. Mm-hmm. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I knew someone's going to come at me. It's basically basketball plus mustache equals Gonzaga championship. Like, there's nothing else to really go with here. I can't pick against them. There's nothing I can do. It's Gonzaga all the way.
Before we go, Luke, how insane would it be if UCLA won it all this year?
Oh, my God. Okay. If UCLA won, I mean, like, a part of me would be like, and it would hate it. But the other part would be like, you know what?
We lost them.
I respect it. It would make our win feel better. And Zhu Zhang, or I'm sorry if I'm butchering his name. Uh-huh. He would, if they won the championship, it would be because he would become a top three prospect in this draft.
It'd be like, a legendary. It would be legendary, dude. It'd be a legendary run, like Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward in the past.
Yeah. I was thinking about Pro Comp, and that's perfect. Like, it would be a monumental NBA all-star level effort to get UCLA to win. Like, that's what it would take.
Because you'd have to beat Gonzaga, and then you'd have to beat the winner of Baylor and Houston, and that's going to take an absolute feat to beat.
These are both really good. Yeah, like, it's
like, a feat. It's a feat.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We'll talk about, I'm sure we'll say who the Natty winner was next week, but I'm presuming it'll be Gonzaga. Anything else, Luke?
No, that's all for me, except probably since I've made a prediction, it's probably not going to be Gonzaga due to my pick history, but yeah.
We'll see.
All right, that'll wrap it up for today's episode. If you like what we do here, please consider subscribing on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to producer Ronya for helping me put together this episode. From my creative cavern with new lighting, I'm Luke Grumman.
From my desk, I'm Caleb Burlingame.
We'll be back next week with, hopefully, more EMU sports. This has been
The Factor Report.